Running a farm is expensive, so coming up with creative ways of generating extra income can certainly be helpful. One of the ways we've found is to run tours and parties and various other activities on the farm. And for us, it also fulfills the desire to share with people a different way of farming, a kinder way of farming. Welcome to the Homesteading Roller Coaster. My name is Ilaria, and in this podcast, I share my family's adventures on Tatum Hills Farm, our property on Ngunnawal Country, just outside of Canberra, Australia. We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders, past, present and emerging. In this podcast, we discuss anything to do with farm life, homesteading, sustainable living, growing your own and much more. So let's get started. We've been welcoming the public to our farm for over 7 years now. We started off just having friends and family over, and very quickly we saw our friends saying how much their kids loved our farm and how much they wanted to invite their own friends. And so friends started bringing other friends, and very quickly we realized that we actually were onto something. At the time, I had just finished working for a science organization as an education officer. So talking to children and the public in general about sciencey things was kind of my jam. So it seemed like a perfect way of pairing my passion for animals and the public's desire to visit us with my expertise to just go and run tours. So that's what we did. We started off just offering private tours for small groups, and very fast we also had to add parties because a lot of people were asking us whether we could host birthday parties for their children. So that's how it all started. We didn't move here with the plan of running ecotourism on the farm, but that became a part of our daily life within just a couple of years. Fast track 7 years down, and we now also have added school groups. Again, by following requests that we were receiving, there isn't really a place around our area where schools can go and visit a working farm. And so we were very happy to fill that need. And we also were able to change our offering to suit the schools. And that has actually happened in collaboration with the schools themselves and following their suggestions. So that has been a really helpful synergy for us. If you're thinking that perhaps you would like to do something similar, there are certainly a few things that you need to consider before you even start. First of all, you will need to be willing to relinquish some privacy. Yes, you will have people coming, and even though we strictly function by appointment, so we don't get any walk-ins and surprises, having people once a week or sometimes twice a week that come to our property does influence a little bit what we do and how we do it and when, because we have to try and have a number of areas that are reasonably tidy and safe for children to walk around. So if we're doing any renovation work or any building work, we need to try and fit that in with the tours. Also, insurance is obviously very important. You shouldn't even consider starting unless you know that you can get an insurance that will cover you for public liability. Our area requires a minimum of 20 million. Your area might be different. You'll need to check with council. And while you're there, you need to check for regulations, whether you're even allowed to run such an activity. So these are all things that you need to think about before you even decide what kind of tours you're going to be running and what kind of activities are going to be happening on your farm. Once you're sure that you can run, then you need to start to consider a few other practical things. For example, toilets. We were very lucky that one of our toilets in the house actually opens up to the outside, a little bit like a mudroom. So all we did was to put a lock on the door that went from that toilet to the rest of the house. And once that door is locked, we're able to just have people go to that bathroom without them accessing the rest of the house. And that has worked really well for us. Because our farm is pretty small and we don't have a huge amount of animals, we normally cap our numbers to a very maximum of 40, and rarely we have that many. So we've been able to just function using just that toilet. Now, you do need to consider how much traffic you get, because if, like us, you have a septic tank as opposed to a town sewage system, your septic tank would have been constructed to take the waste from the size of house that you live in. So if you suddenly are adding an extra 40 people a week, your septic tank may not cope quite as well. So once we started welcoming school tours, we actually went out and bought two portable toilets that we could install very quickly in the backyard with little tents, and that's for the kids to use. And that has worked really well for us. They're easy to set up, they're easy to clean. The little tents are cute and the kids are really enjoying using them. So when we get the school groups, we normally get about 100 kids over a two-day period. So that was both too much for our septic tank and also too much for the kids, because imagine having 100 kids going through one toilet, it was just too much. So we actually now have two portable toilets, which brings us up to a total of three toilets that can be used by the 100 visitors, and that has worked much better. Once you've got all of that in place, you've got your council approval, you've got your insurance, your toilets are sorted, now it's time to start thinking about what you actually would like people to do on your farm. We already had a variety of animals and that worked really well. Rather than having a flock of 100 sheep, having a few llamas and a few chickens and later a few goats and a few other animals really worked much better. We found that people really do enjoy the variety as opposed to just being presented with 100 of the same thing. So that worked really well for us. It also pays to be a bit creative. So when we first started, we really just had the chickens and the llamas. And I felt that just having people looking at two types of animals really wasn't that much. But we did have a worm farm. And so for a while, the worms became also a feature of our tour. And we would actually visit the worms and I would show the worms to the children and talk to them about what they do and why they're good. And they were actually a huge hit. Sadly, the worms no longer feature in our tours because now we have so many different animals, there isn't just enough time for that. But who knows, maybe in the future they will make a reappearance. So certainly variety of animals over numbers of animals of the same species is very good. If you can have a horse or a pony or something for them to look at, brush, or maybe even ride, that would be fantastic. We get asked that all the time, but we're really not into horses. We feel that they're too high maintenance for us at the moment, and so we just don't have them. And also, horses can be found in lots of other places around town, whereas our llamas and goats are fairly unique here, although there is another llama farm nearby that only have llamas. We find that our setting is quite unique. So certainly that's another point. Have a look at what's around and see if you can provide something that isn't available, something that sets you apart from others. Then you'll need to work out the logistics. How are people going to arrive? Where are they going to park? Are they going to start all in the one spot? Are you going to take them around? How does that work? For us, both for insurance purposes and because I really don't want people roaming freely on my property, I take them around. So all of our tours are guided. And that also goes hand in hand with the fact that my agenda for having them here, as well as making a little bit of cash, is really to show people how you can interact and treat animals in a really kind way and still get a lot out of them. And that's really important for me. And so I do want to be there with people and answer their questions and really show the love that we have for our animals and the respect we have for them, and show people how they can interact respectfully with the animals. In the same way, a lot of people will ask us whether we're a petting zoo and whether we always have baby animals. And the answers are no and no. To me, a petting zoo is just an area where there's a whole bunch of animals. The kids get in there, they pat the animals more or less roughly, walk out, and that's it. Certainly, that is a valuable experience. They get to see up close a whole bunch of animals they haven't really met before. But most of the petting zoos I've seen, there isn't really much of a learning experience. So I try to really make a point to explain to people that we have animals that we love and we know well, and that the thing that sets us apart is that we will explain to people and share our knowledge of them and answer their questions. And that has certainly served us well over the years. And as far as the babies go, we very rarely have babies. When we do, we often run extra tours because everybody loves a baby. But we do explain very clearly to people that we only have babies when we actually want more animals, either because we know we can find them good homes to go to, or because we just want more animals to keep. And so we don't just breed for the sake of showing people our animals, because if you do that, then you very quickly going to end up with too many animals. And so then you have to move them on. And if there's too many of them, you might not be able to be so discerning about the home these animals are going to. And so we want to be really particular about where our animals go. And so we make very sure that we only breed when we can accommodate the adult animals that will come from these babies. And that has been well received. People mostly look for babies, in my experience, not just because they're cute, but because they have found that babies are friendly and adult animals are not. Once they see that all of our animals, no matter the age, are really friendly and placid, then they're quite happy to just pat an adult goat as opposed to a baby one. As well as showing the animals to your visitors, you might want to consider whether you're going to be offering extras on your farm. Will you be offering food and drinks? That may require an extra license and extra time on your part to set things up. We personally have chosen not to do that. It's just beyond us at the moment. So for the moment, we just tell people if they want to stay for a picnic, they're welcome to do so, but they have to bring everything for the picnic themselves. Similarly, for the parties, we do offer people an area, which is really a garage that we've adapted, where they can have their food and drinks and their party activities. But again, we tell people to bring their own. If you have a catering area nearby, that would be fantastic. People often ask me, where can I go and get food and drinks near you? And we did have a fantastic small cafe nearby, but they weren't all that keen to do party foods just because it didn't really fit within the business model. So we just tell them to bring food. We're not that far from town. It's just easy enough. And we've been running very successful parties that way. So don't feel like you have to provide food and drinks. Certainly, I think it would be a very welcome addition if you did. But I think people really do come for the animals. So if you give them a fantastic animal experience, that is enough to attract them over. The other thing that we offer as extras are activities for the parties. I felt if people were driving all the way here, even though it's not that far, it's about half an hour from town, and they spent about an hour looking at the animals and about maybe half an hour having their picnic or having their food, it'd be worth for them to have some party activities, just because usually parties last about a couple of hours, and also kids like to have games. So over the years, we've developed a list of various games and activities that range from doing craft with llama fleece to just doing wheelbarrow races, or we have an egg and spoon race. We make animal masks. So you know, Pinterest is your best friend. Have a look at activities that can somewhat be related to your farm and they're easy and quick to do with a group of children in a simple area with tables and chairs. And you can offer those activities. We send this list of activities during the booking process for the party. People can choose up to two activities and then we'll run them for them. The majority of these activities are included in the base price for the party. Some of them require extra materials on our part, and so we just charge a small extra amount per child. People don't seem to complain. If they don't want to pay the extra, they can just choose one of the many activities that are included. Or we've had people who've been coming now year after year, so now they're branching out to getting the other activities, the one that involve a small extra cost, just because they want to offer a different activity to their guests every year. We also really focus on making our experience as relaxed as possible. In a lot of places, there are lots of tours or parties being run on the same day. And so while they take you around with a smile, they will shepherd you towards the door pretty quickly at the end. We've made a point to only ever run one tour or one party per day. And that is partially for us. It's just easier on us. It leaves us some time for the family, given that all of these things are happening on the weekend. And it's also for the animals. We only have a small amount of animals. And, you know, if they've already been interacting with the public all morning, they might not be quite as keen in the afternoon. So we do want to make sure we don't overwork them as well. But also for us, it's very important that people feel relaxed when they come here and they don't feel that we're like sending them out the door as soon as their activity and time is over. So we're very flexible with time. And we find people do respect the times that we set quite well. But, you know, a lot of people have little kids and they might be on their way out and the baby needs a feed or needs a change. Seriously, it's fine. They can take their time. We've got a change table in our bathroom. Really try to make them feel welcome. They seem to really respond to having a nice homey environment. So that's certainly something to consider. What would you like them to do besides looking at the animals? And if you're going to take them around and show them the animals yourself, are you going to know a whole bunch of facts that you can tell the kids about your animals? Such as, did you know that llamas have three stomachs? Or did you know that llamas are born with jelly on their toes? Or how does a chicken chew its food? You know, just simple facts like that. You can also make signs around the property. I do have a bunch of signs that I put out. To be honest, I don't see people looking at them much. They tend to prefer listening to me or asking me questions directly. So the last thing you need to consider, and possibly you should consider it a little bit sooner than at the very end, is how you're going to advertise your business and take your bookings. How are people going to pay you? So again, these are things that you might want to consider as you're setting things up. Do you need a website? If so, are you able to do it yourself? Can you do it with a free platform? Or do you need to engage somebody? We were able to just do it ourselves. We had a free platform for many years. Now we've upgraded. Another option could be using Eventbrite. And for certain tours that we have been running, we certainly have used that platform. It works really well. You have to consider they will ask you for a fee for their service. So that's something to keep in mind when you set your prices. But overall, the majority of our bookings happen by somebody giving us a call or sending us a message through our website, and then everything happens via email or phone calls. I try to have most of the bookings in writing just so I remember who's coming when and what they're doing. But I'm very happy to talk to people on the phone, and I find that that is quite a personable way of interacting with people. I have a number of standardized emails that I send out during the booking process, but I do really prefer not to automate my booking process any further because I do feel that that personalized experience of actually having an email that's being compiled for you or having a phone call with a person who can discuss your needs really does help. We use the website to advertise a few things that we're doing, such as tours and parties or workshops and so on. And also, we use the website for people to be able to contact us. So we have one single contact us page where people can go to send us any questions or where they can ask us for a booking. Other than that, we just work mostly by word of mouth. Initially, it was our friends coming and telling their friends. And now, because Canberra is not a very big place and we have quite a few years behind us already running, we do get pretty much as many bookings as we need through word of mouth. I also do have a Facebook and Instagram page. You can find us at Tatum Hills Farm, T-A-T-U-M Hills Farm, on both Instagram and Facebook. And I do run a bit of advertising through that, mostly just by posting, occasionally paid advertising through the platforms. But really what has brought the majority of our public here has been just word of mouth. So have people come, do a great job, and get them to tell all their friends. And to make sure that what you're offering is actually what they want, I found, especially at the beginning, was really helpful to have them fill in an evaluation form at the end. I found that was really helpful to give me information about what they really thought about my tour. And let's face it, most of the time, the feedback was really good. And that made for a lovely boost of ego, which, you know, who doesn't need that? But at the same time, a lot of people had good suggestions that over the years I've been able to implement so that my tours have become better and better over time. So I think really the evaluation form, especially as you're starting out, will help you tweak your offering in a way that you're really catering for what people need and want. And that's it for another episode of the Homesteading Rollercoaster. If you enjoyed the content, we'd love it if you subscribed. We'd also really appreciate a rating and review on your podcast platform. Or send us a message. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Tatum Hills Farm. That's T-A-T-U-M Hills Farm. Or on our website at www.tatumhillsfarm.com.au. Thank you for listening. Bye.